This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, August 8th, 2017, episode 134. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, as he does each and every week, Brian with an I, Aldridge. Hey, Brian.
Hey, everybody. If you want to find me on the internet, at Boise Computer on Twitter, or you're welcome, more than welcome to go to check out my blog. It's biteoftech.com, and that's, of course, with an I, B-I-T-E, of tech.com. Also, I encourage you really to go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, you'll see a lot of ways that you can either join our Discord group, you can join our Steam group, you can find our audio-only podcast forms of this. Maybe if you watch this on YouTube, and or if you come in here and watch us live, perhaps you're going to be on the road, you'll miss an episode. It's really easy to go to the website and find. There's all kinds of different places that that you can connect through, whether it's iTunes or a lot of apps on an Android device. But we have links down in the lower right for that. Also, if you join our Discord group, it's a great way to find people to play games throughout the week. We have people playing pretty much Battlegrounds every day. And we have just whatever game that you happen to be into at the moment. If you go in there, there's a good chance that someone else has it and maybe you can convince them to come and play. And also we have our Steam group, which just gives notifications. So probably about 10 minutes before the show starts, we send out a little notification through Steam. It'll pop up and say, hey, we're getting ready to go live. So if you happen to be at your computer, you'll see that notification and get a chance to come and chat during the show. And also you can get a chance to go into the raffles. So because those are only live and we give away two games each and every week. So I think that's all the self-promotion that I have for the moment.
Speaking of self-promotion, we got to give a shout-out to our good friend Bob, who always is a big fan of the show and sent us this picture this week on Twitter, listening, I believe it's like a Dodge Challenger or Charger. I think it's a Dodge Charger. Streaming the show over Bluetooth. As you can see, it says Brian Aldridge and Nick Craig. So for all of the memes about how I'm just the stupid co-host, it fits right in. So
it's with sidekick.
Yeah, with sidekick.
With producer Nick.
Yeah, and
Craig.
It's a very small font somehow. It's like 11 point font.
And we can only do that on podcast
now. Yeah, so he sent us an image this week of him listening to the show in the car. Yes, he did make it home safely. I chatted with him today, so saw of course some lovely comments in Discord. Oh, he probably didn't make it home after listening to the show. Stupid stuff like that. So appreciate him listening to the show, and there you go, listening to it on the podcast in the car. Send us your picture. Yep. I'm soliciting pictures of people listening to the show on like a subway or a metro or something like that. And look who it is. Firebomb decided to show up late, like always. Not a surprise. So, yeah, we got a whole bunch of people that are that tuning into the show. There it is. Now, Brian, this weekend, actually, we promoted this last week, and we mentioned an interview that was coming up this week.
Yeah, I mentioned that we're going to do that.
Did we come up with a name for this segment? Because we do need – this is going to be kind of like a –
No, and I think this is something we said that we needed to think of a name, and something witty hasn't popped into my head yet.
Oh, yes.
So,
but the concept behind this segment is it will be a series of interviews conducted by either Brian, myself, or us together, kind of highlighting a game that is in early access or in development with a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo, or maybe they're not, maybe they're getting funded privately, but it's a game that is in some type of alpha release that is not, there's not out for people to play as of yet, maybe. And we're going to go through hopefully once.
Or something very new that's very well known yet.
Yeah, kind of like a spotlight, essentially. And I think we talked about it last week, using the show to kind of promote things again. And again, some things we promote may end up being good games, may be successful. Some games we may promote might very well be flops, terrible games. There's not a whole bunch of vetting that we're going to use going into this. It's going to be, here are some of the games that fit our genre of survival that are available. They're not necessarily promotions of the game in terms of, oh, you should go out and buy this, or, you know, I guess, you know, an endorsement of the game rather. So Brian, you kicked off the first
one. Yeah, it's a nice opportunity for the developers of the game to come in here and kind of just give their pitch for it of, here's why I think, because a lot of times it's hard when you go to different video game news sites and mm-hmm. you look at ratings and things like that, because some of them, they're really off. And so you go in there and play the game and it's like, this isn't at all what I was thinking it was going to be, or it's nothing like they claimed. This gives an opportunity for us to ask very direct questions to the developers, but also for them to try to, you know, describe what's one thing I like to cover is like, what was your vision behind the game? You know, what kind of things, where did this game come from? Because you don't usually hear that.
No, never.
People don't usually talk about where the game came from. You just hear about, oh, what kind of performance does it has and how many players. Like, I'm personally interested in a little more than that. So,
yes.
So hopefully each time we do this, we can get some, we'll be the video game hipsters. I think that's what we're aiming to be is.
Wow.
We interviewed these people before they were cool.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
so yeah, I was like, with Battlegrounds and Player Unknown, it's like, well, you know, I guess he was kind of cool by then, but you know, get those in there where,
I mean,
you know, we sat down with, the top game right now that's out there.
As Lance would say, he's a fan of the show.
He's a big fan.
Yeah, big fan of the show. So, I mean, I can't complain.
Shout out to Player Unknown.
Yeah, shout out to Player Unknown. You know, he'll remember. He'll remember us, I'm sure. A couple of schmuck podcasts at PAX East. So, Brian, tease us a little bit. We're going to roll into this. So, what we're going to do here is, we're going to play the interviews about half an hour long. Brian conducted the interview. I was unfortunately out of town. So Brian, give us a little bit of a teaser before we roll into the interview here. What are we talking about?
All right. So this is an interview with Nicholas Zorko, and he is the lead developer for a game called Brain Matter Dead Matter, which is a
perfect
play on Brain Matter, you know, whatever, but on Dead Matter. And so this is a zombie survival game that's on Kickstarter right now.
Okay.
And so we wanted to have an opportunity, and this, you know, we didn't bring him on for an hour long one, just because sometimes there's some preparation, things that go into that. We wanted something quick just to get an opportunity for people that maybe haven't heard about the game yet to be able to hear from the developer about it and have an opportunity before the Kickstarter's done to actually get in there and do a purchase if they like what they hear. So, we did a quick one over the weekend, was able to get this, but yeah, this is Nicholas Zorko, lead developer, and the company's Quantum Integrity Software. And this Kickstarter has been out since July 17th. So it's in the last like week. There's like 1 week of it still, being here. So hopefully people enjoy it, but I think it turned out very well. So we can go ahead and go to it. All right. I'm here with Nicholas Zorko, and he is the lead developer of Quantum Integrity Software, and they have released a recent Kickstarter here called Dead Matter. They did this on July 17th. So as of this recording, we're recording it just a couple days before the live episode. They have 10 days to go. So they're going to be down to the wire here by the time you hear this. So hopefully when you hear this, you'll have an opportunity to go to their Kickstarter page and go check out the project, because I think you'll be excited about what this is. It's really down our alley here. So, Nicholas, what is the premise of Dead Matter? What, you know, how'd you come up with it? And what is the thing that for you excited you to do this game?
Dead Matter is a open world zombie survival game. Now, a lot of people kind of cringe when they think that, because they go, oh, PvP with your friends simulator, but we wanted to make a zombie survival game where the actual threat to the average player will be the zombies. There will be other players in the world, but I think that with the environment posing a large threat, players will have a lot more incentive to actually work together. So it originally started when I was actually quite young. I started working on a mod for Crysis 2, and the mod was actually released in 2013. Pretty much started when I was younger, and then the concept has heavily evolved over time. I mean, even before I created the mod, there was a lot of kind of concept exploration stuff that I did on my own. So yeah, that's, I guess, the general premise of the game is actually to survive against the environment, survive against in this world, you know, fight against everything kind of being thrown at you. And you can also do it with your friends, which I know is very important to a lot of people.
Yeah. And one thing that I think has been missing recently, so there was a big kick with zombie survival, and a lot of people were incredibly disappointed that zombies kind of took a back seat in a lot of these games. I mean, we started out actually as the H1Z1 podcast. We were the H1, but the thing is that the game just took a turn to where we were just like, it's not going where we want. And so we spread out to survival. But that was one thing that I know a lot of people really wanted, was a game where you actually were fighting against zombies. And that, so far, other than maybe like 7 Days to Die, there aren't very many games where it's you versus a zombie. And that's a big core part of the actual gameplay.
Yeah, that's our large focus, is making PvE enjoyable. We want to make it so if you open single player and give yourself some sort of goal, you can have a meaningful experience. We wanted to make it so the AI is challenging to fight against. That's actually the reason why we have the metagame system. It's a huge pain to actually get that thing to go. Writing it has been just, you know, an absolute load of fun, but it's also been a huge challenge. But I think that having creating the illusion of a living, breathing world is very, very important to do for these sorts of games. And I think another thing too is we wanted to put a lot of effort into, I guess, making the player also feel immersed. I know zombies and realism are kind of an oxymoron if you think about it, but we wanted the game to have as realistic of a setting or what have you as possible, because I think that it's important for a lot of people that are fans of these games, especially. I think it's very important.
Well, and that's one thing that people tease me a lot, is because I'm constantly talking about immersion. That is one of, there's a lot of people that play with us that they could care less. Like Nick, who does the show with me, he really could care less about immersion. He's slowly coming to my side on this, to where he's starting to appreciate it more and more. But that's one of the biggest things for me in a game, is I want to feel like I'm in that environment. I want to feel like what I am doing means something, and that what around me feels as real as possible. That's one thing that, if you look at Miscreated, they did a very beautiful job of making an environment. The rest of the gameplay can be iffy, you know, as far as the mechanics. But if you look at the environment, the one thing that really caught me with that game is you look down a road. If there's a path going down the side of the road, if you follow it, there's something there. You know, and so yeah, they really did a good job of bringing you into that immersion. Now, you said on this that this started out as a crisis mod, and that seems to be kind of a popular thing that's happening lately. We interviewed the creator of Battlegrounds, you know, and that started out for him as a mod. You know, and there's been a couple of Kickstarters lately that start as mods. So was that's pretty much the original concept started in that mod, but what has changed from that to what you're presenting here in this Kickstarter?
The mod was actually in a very different place. The mod was actually originally, I guess, advertised, or one of its biggest kind of, I guess I can't really say selling point, but one of its biggest, I guess, download points was it was the single player alternative to survival. And the CryEngine was the modding tools. I don't know if the engine itself would be this limiting, but it was actually quite limiting. And I kind of just stopped after a while because, I mean, even getting any code to run was kind of a nightmare. But one of the things that we did want to move and keep from the mod in the game is Dead Matter mod had a very kind of dark atmosphere. There was a lot of heavy, I guess the color blue was like the primary color in that game. It kind of sounds weird, but if you look at a picture, you might kind of understand what I'm talking about, where there was a very bluesy, kind of dark, very almost depressing atmosphere. And that was one thing we kind of wanted to bring over. We wanted to make the game kind of, you know, it would feel heavy to play at times. So that's definitely one thing we brought over. However, we are glad to say that we haven't resorted to using any form of color correction or any other techniques kind of down that alley for the videos that we've shown so far. So I'm pretty happy with that, actually.
Now, with this, what kind of inspired you to come up with this mod in the first place? And one thing I want to make a comment on really quick, with the engine that Miscreated is using, CryEngine, that's one of their biggest things that they've complained about, is that it's not made to do this kind of thing. And they've been actually rewriting a lot of the engine just to make it work with a multiplayer environment. So it's a good thing that you're still not on CryEngine, because you'd be fighting against that the whole time. What was kind of the inspiration as far as the mod? Was there anything other than maybe you enjoyed zombies, but was there some kind of an inspiration? Is this part of your hometown? I mean, is this something you're kind of able to bring that local feel to?
For the inspiration part, are you asking where we've gotten some gameplay, some of our...
Yeah, like your mechanics.
Yeah,
where do we
draw our ideas from?
Yeah, where's that coming from?
Honestly, a lot of Project Zomboid, that's a huge influence. The Fallout series has actually been an influence. I know that Fallout 4 has kind of influenced some of the looks and some of the weapon mechanics as well in terms of actual gunplay. It's not the most realistic, but I thought that it kind of felt very, very good, especially when you were playing on hardcore near the beginning of the game and your guns actually did damage. So that and some of the way that we use our fog, and I think even the lighting as well, it really just sort of shoots through the world. We didn't use any color correction or anything. So I'd say those are two big influences. I think for the way that gunfights and all that are handled, I think DayZ was actually, it was a huge influence for sure. I think that the adrenaline rushes that I felt while playing that game have been, I don't think I've actually experienced anything like that in quite, some time, because I don't really play it anymore. But
yeah, and that's one thing that people really enjoy, and we enjoyed even with H1Z1, was getting into those gun battles and getting into those. I mean, DayZ is a lot of fun if you can capture those favorite parts of those games, like whatever it was that drew you to that game. If you can capture that, that's a great thing. And I think that there's a lot of other people that are interested in this genre that are looking for that exact same feeling that maybe the current, there's a lot of people not playing the current DayZ standalone because it just doesn't, I think deliver that same feeling that they got from that original DayZ mod.
Yeah.
Now, as far as you said, this started out as a mod, but at what point, how long ago did you say, well, I should make this into a standalone game? Like at what point did you come up with, all right, I'm going to take a kind of a leap of faith here and go to Kickstarter? And then from that point, what got you to here?
It's kind of a funny one. I was talking to, and this is why I asked about him earlier. I was talking to Terry Evans about this, and this was way back in way back in the day when crydev.net was still a thing. Because he and I actually talked on Skype a couple times. I think I told it. I had complaints about the modding tool set. I had pretty much just, he was working on a game called Canyonlands, which then ended up becoming Miscreated. More or less the name got changed. And I guess when I was talking with him, he was actually the one that did encourage me to go standalone. I do remember him actually saying that you're basically doing a lot of work for being able to say, yeah, I released a mod, and if the engine is giving you that much problems, you could free yourself from the constraints and just move on to something else, like a standalone game. And I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. CryEngine had very, I don't want to say bad, but the licensing was really awkward way back in the days of CryDev, because they had something called the free SDK, and you could make a game on it. However, you couldn't actually make any money from it, so pretty much it was a really awkward sort of thing to kind of throw at people. So I sort of just didn't, I guess, do anything with it past that point. And that's when the idea kind of went to rest, and brought the idea of Dead Matter up again to a lot of developers that I was working on a mod for Gary's mod with, and a lot of them seemed to really like the idea. And we made stuff together for a good 4 or 5 years, and then I think we pretty much just broke the limits of the Source engine. We, through the largest map ever, and we made it work somehow. And even the character customization for some of the mods we had back then, like you could set your eye color, hair style, facial details, that sort of thing. So we were really just pushing the limits of what you could do with just Lua and Gary's mods. So we figured that, you know, our talent of being able to make engines kind of work for us, that sort of thing, and not taking no for an answer, especially when you're working on a project such as this, it definitely has, you know, been one of those, you know, hey, let's just go do Dead Matter. And it's like, yeah. And it's like, yeah, let's do it. And I'm like, all right, I think, you know, the time has come.
And you guys are working on Unreal. Is this, from what I could gather, this is an
Unreal
Engine?
Yeah, we are on Unreal Engine 4. Epic have been super great to us so far, which is really nice. I honestly wasn't expecting it, which is why I'm mentioning it.
As far as your response from the community, because this is something that, you know, sometimes you'll see a game on Kickstarter and you'll be like, that's a really cool concept, but it just doesn't take off. Like, you know, you go kickstart it, but for some reason other people aren't kickstarting it. And I wasn't sure on this game. You know, I kickstarted it, I think the day after I saw it initially. And yeah. And it was something where, you know, you kind of wait and you're just not sure. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. But what kind of a response have you got from the community? And did you expect this level of response going into it?
The level of response was actually very, it varied quite heavily. We initially posted our video up on YouTube, and then I think some channel like Math Chief took our video and just straight up re-uploaded it. I don't know how the guy saw it or whichever, but we're pretty grateful because it pretty much got the ball really rolling. A lot of the comments on YouTube were actually kind of discouraging, but what was encouraging was the likes to dislikes. The likes were they were pretty much dogpiling the dislikes, which was really relieving to see, because we're very aware of the image that survival games have. You know, they're going to be in early access forever and blah, blah, blah. We understand that, and we understand why people are upset. But, you know, the response on YouTube was initially, you know, going through the comments, it was kind of negative. Then I think a page on Facebook uploaded our video, and they were actually really nice because they linked the Kickstarter back to us. And the response on Facebook was very positive. I was really, really happy to see the response on Facebook being a lot more positive in terms of the comments that people actually left. And then it kept on just going and going. There was this YouTuber that I watched, Big Fry TV. I had seen a few of his videos and he seemed like an all right guy. And I think he had a video that my friend actually specifically linked me. And sorry, by my friend, I actually meant another developer on the team, because we're friends and he also works on the game. So he linked me the video of Big Fry talking, and it was him, I think, talking about how bad some early access games are. And, you know, he was pretty much like, don't send me your game. You know, don't bother making a survival game. His video was kind of like really, like, damn. And then he reached out to us. So we're just like, okay, well, if he's on board and, you know,
he sees something,
shit, we must be doing something right.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's something that, I mean, we follow weekly, the survival game genre. And it's something that we've seen with a lot of games that come into Kickstarter, and just that, you know, there's some that get funded. And then after that, you know, it's really up to the devs. Like sometimes the devs will just not then put out an update for 6 months. And it's like, well, how do you expect the community? Because as you saw, you know, people are very harsh on YouTube, on Reddit, you know, wherever it is. The second that they don't feel like something is going their way or the way that they think it should be going, you know, they'll jump on and make a negative comment. But one thing we've really found is that turns around very quickly. You know, a dev can then start putting out updates and start putting out content, you know, and being more responsive. And it's amazing how the people come back. So, but it's sad that the genre's gotten to that point where that happens so much. I mean, it shouldn't be to where, you know, devs are like, oh, I'm supposed to put out updates, I'm supposed to communicate with our fans.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's something that there's a few that gave the genre a bad name, DayZ in particular. But I think that they can, you know, that can be turned around by a couple of good developers doing it right and giving the community a game that they're actually seeking. So,
yeah, I think one of the things is with DayZ is that I think that they kind of were banking on their PvP to kind of pull the game through.
Yeah.
I don't know this though. Like, I'm not too informed, but this is kind of what from what I know. And I'm not going to sit here and, you know, criticize their game, because I mean, you know, it was fun. I had my fun with it. But we want to focus on PvE. We want to focus on zombies being the bad guys. And we want to give people what we truly believe that people more or less want. We want to give people what they want, not have people kind of going, you know, where's this feature? Where's that feature? You know, are you guys even listening to us? I think that's important. I think as well, a lot of the developers on the team also want to play this game. We want to play this game. We want to play Dead Matter. We want to create a game that we actually want to play.
Yeah.
And we don't get burnt out when we sit and work on the game. We don't go, oh, this is fun, and this used to be fun, and now it's evolving into work. And it's like, no, we get excited at the idea of what we're going to add next. We get really excited. We'll spend 16 hours in a row just sitting there, you know, grinding it out until, like, our hands are just falling off and we need to go to bed. Like,
yeah.
we're extremely dedicated. And yeah, I think it's just unfortunate that the genre itself has kind of hit this point, but you know, we saw it as an opportunity to make change and to make a positive change. And I'm really excited to, you know, be a part of that for sure.
Good. So how many people are on the team currently? And then you talked about how you know, have a modding background and things like that, but what's kind of the history of the team and game development?
We have 5 developers that produce regular content. These are the people that, you know, we're looking to get them a bit of compensation through the Kickstarter. We also have people that are kind of in an auxiliary staff position where they help, but they do very, very minor roles. And we have about 4 or 5 of those people, all the way from just, you know, reaching out to local news agencies, that sort of thing. And then we've got, you know, just pretty much people that help, but they're not as involved in development. And we also have our developers that don't produce 3D / code / you know, animations. We have those people that produce art and concept art. And some of the concept art has actually been extremely helpful, and we're glad that they're on the team. We also will be contracting people to do a lot of stuff, but they'll kind of be there for a bit on the team and then kind of go. It's to allow us to kind of develop it on a bit of a tighter budget while maintaining quality.
Well, and so that's one thing that, you know, like with the concept art and things like that, that helps give you guys the vision. But also sometimes, you know, when you can sit down with a concept artist and say, here's what I really want, and you can get it on paper, and then it helps the rest of the team to maybe see what you're envisioning. Cause sometimes it's hard to explain, and you know, oh, you know, I have this sort of a feel. I mean, having come from the mod community and kind of having that feel where you talked about it was kind of blue, that probably does help, because you're like, that's kind of our reference. You know, we have that reference, but I'm sure there's some new things in this game that for you is kind of breaking new ground. And, you know, having a concept artist that can sit there and sketch it out can make a huge difference in just getting everyone on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. It's as I said, just monumentally helpful that we have people on the team that can do that sort of thing for us, because just being able to kind of express how I feel, or, you know, just say, hey, we need something that matches this, or let's say I need a scene of a gas station so we can start concepting it out or getting models made, that sort of thing. That's what we were kind of, you know, it's a modder's dream come true, because we don't have to kind of put things together. I am very lucky, because as a programmer, I actually have quite a bit of 3D modeling under my belt as well. So if there's concepts or, you know, things that I need to kind of demonstrate to people, I'm not afraid to kind of just open Blender and
nice.
Kind of just get something together and, you know, show people, hey, this is, you know, how I'd like this sort of thing. You know, let me know if it's confusing or whatever. And it's just nice being able to do that. Really, really nice.
So how long do you expect until, because that's one thing, I think the whole alpha thing has gotten really confusing, because what used to be beta is, I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. And alpha is kind of, it's alpha until release nowadays. So what do you see as, and that's why I kind of refer to it as a semi-playable alpha. what do you see the point where you can have something to release to where even if people are running around and just having those initial set of just seeing what the game is about, how long out do you think that might be?
We don't plan on dawdling when it comes to getting our gameplay out there when we want to get the alpha. The game is not complete, though.
Yeah.
That being said, and it's really because these things do take time. And as much as I want to say, you know, we want to get the most perfect finish, like we can't just kind of make it happen overnight. But that being said, like we want to get the game out, I believe, first quarter. And that would be something just for the Kickstarter backers. First quarter 2018, they would be able to play the game. It would be an alpha test. And generally what we would want feedback on is, how do you like the world so far? How is performance? Are we doing a good job with that so far? Do we need to change anything? And really, we'd be doing a alpha test because not all of our features would necessarily be implemented at that point. However, we think it's important to gather feedback from the community, make sure that the game really works. We want the alpha to work. And we also want it to feel good. We think that having the alpha in a playable state, not necessarily, you know, run the alpha for a long time just because we, you know, want to go ahead and roll some, you know, big changes out, that sort of thing. And it's really just, it's more or less, we just want to kind of gather feedback, get the people that back the game in the game as soon as we can. And we just want to see this project really, you know, go ahead. And the alpha is not very subject to delays. We know this internally, as you know, we're going to talk about that right here, of course. So it's not as subject to delays as something like a release would be, because if we put out the alpha and we haven't done our jobs as well, we can kind of spend time fixing it, working with the community and, you know, doing more and more testing. However, if we actually wanted to do the release on Steam, the early access release, it would be, we would want the game to feel good from our perspective, and we would want our community to actually like it as well. We want the backers, you know, to like it as well. We want to actually work with our backers to make sure that, you know, the vision of the game is, you know, actually being achieved. We're actually, you know, achieving what we set out to achieve and achieving what they paid us to achieve. So,
well, and I think it's really dangerous for people to release too early, because
absolutely, yes.
I think that people get impatient. But if you look at a lot of the games that I would consider incredibly successful, you know, even after they get that initial release, a lot of them are developing for years. I mean, if you look at Ark, they, you know, they're finally coming out of their alpha, but they've been in alpha for a couple of years now. You know, you can look at a lot of different games, and they're using, and kind of what alpha is supposed to be, is an opportunity to implement new features. It's an opportunity to test concepts. It's an opportunity where if something doesn't work, you can turn around, undo it, and maybe do it a different way. It's not a guarantee that what's in that original alpha is going to be in the final game. And if people are unwilling to give you that time to sit down and say, all right, let's test this, let's try it, let's figure it out, you know, they're going to be the ones that don't get as good of a game in the end. And so I think that a lot of people have kind of gotten confused with the whole alpha concept of, you know, it's like what used to be the beta. I mean, a lot of people think that it should be so polished and so finished when it comes in alpha, but you know, that's when you're usually testing and learning that everything works in the, you know, in mass, or, you know, with a lot of people playing. So, you know, I think that a lot of people just kind of don't give alphas anymore. And, you know, but that's because there's some that have come out and they don't change. You know, they stay the same, pretty much the same from that initial alpha release. But I think, you know, if your team does it properly, you guys will be then molding it from that point to that game that you envision.
Yeah, I also don't think that releasing a game that's not exactly fully featured, but, you know, obviously doesn't suffer from bugs, issues, that sort of thing. I don't think that releasing a I wouldn't want to say incomplete, but I think early access would benefit the most from, you know, when we're kind of in those later stages of development, you know, that sort of thing. But I think that once we've kind of achieved what we've set out to, I think getting the game onto Steam, getting it, you know, just there, saying, okay, we've got it onto Steam, you know, now we've got to deal with what's next, which is, you know, do we make additional content? Because I think, you know, additional content that's, you know, freely included, we want to make sure that all of our new content is easily accessed, that sort of thing. You know, we want to release new maps, we want to release new outfits for characters, that sort of thing. And I think that we don't necessarily have to be in early access to hit this point. And that's one of the things that I guess I want to make, like, you know, known, is that, you know, we may do additional content after our release, after our initial early access release, or after our Steam release. We basically want to continually update the game for as long as we can. And I don't think we necessarily have to be stuck in an early access state in order to do that.
Yeah.
As I've said probably twice, sorry.
No, you're good. And I think that that's where, you know, some games that works for them. You know, there's some that when they release, like that is that's kind of the game that then is up on that pedestal for them. And that's what they're releasing. But you know, when you have a game that has multiple players, it's really opened up that whole genre to be able to kind of keep molding a game and moving it forward, because it's not like a single player game where you play through a story and you figure it out once, and then it's done. This is something that you guys can keep molding, especially coming from a modding background. I mean, you guys are used to taking something and making it your own, or, you know, taking something and making it different. So, you know, I'm sure that's probably in your guys' blood.
Yeah. It's been a passion of ours for so long, and we're just really excited to finally being able to keep the, you know, soda flowing and keep the phones on and cool. Just sort of keep on just trucking through this development. And, you know, we're very, very just excited to, you know, have people go, hey, you know, we actually want this game too. We want the game that these guys are making. You know, just being able to kind of get that support has been just fantastic for us, especially morale-wise. Morale has really been lifted on the development team, like by far one of the best benefits of Kickstarter.
Now, for someone that's listening to the show right now, or, you know, listening in their car, that hasn't gone to your Kickstarter, that hasn't pledged yet, you know, what can you say to them? Why should they support your game? What can you say to them that should encourage them to go to your Kickstarter page, search for Dead Matter, and go look at your different pledge tiers?
I would have to say that if you're looking for the same type of game that we've been talking about, a game where you actually have to survive against the environment, survive the zombie apocalypse, kind of test every single little scenario you've come up with as a kid, that sort of thing. If you want to, you know, get a slice of that experience, you know, come check out the Kickstarter. I'm not really too big on trying to sell things to people. So I'm just going to honestly say, check it out for yourself. Let it do the talking for me. Cause, you know, we're very dedicated, and I'm just very happy to kind of be able to say, yeah, hey, you in the car listening, go check out the Kickstarter. It's some pretty good stuff on there if you're interested in zombie survival, which I assume you are.
Yeah, I mean, most of our fans, that's what they're into. So, and that's very cool. I mean, that's something that for me, I Kickstarted it. I know that we have a lot of people that have Kickstarted it that have let us know that they have. And so thank you very much, Nicholas, for coming and joining us. Really great interview. And I'm looking forward to see that's one beautiful thing about Kickstarter is seeing the progress as things unfold, getting those updates. I'm really excited to see what, you know, the rest of this project has and seeing it unfold and kind of getting to that opportunity to be able to play it. So thank you very much, guys. And we're going back to the regular show. Thank you for listening.
All right. And as we speak and sit here right now, the Dead Matter Kickstarter has $157,133. And the original goal was $47,348. So they are doing quite well with their Kickstarter. There is 7 days to go on this. And as I said beforehand, Brian, with all of these interviews, this is not any, you know, we just got to put this disclaimer out there. Back, you know, use your brain and back this if it's something you're interested in. This is in no way an endorsement of any of these, any product or any game.
We're not getting paid by these people to come and give a promotion or anything like that. So we're just going out trying to.
There we go. And we lost Brian, of course. So yeah, you can check out his Kickstarter. There will be a link in the show notes. infectionpodcast.com. 7 days left to go on this. So if you are watching this show live right now or listening to this show, maybe after the fact, maybe you're listening to this Wednesday or Thursday, you've got until next Tuesday. So the next episode of Infection, you'll have to back this on Kickstarter. Brian is back. Fantastic.
Yeah. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So you've got 7 days.
I can still hear you when that happens. So interesting. Strange things.
So you've got 1 week from today, if you're watching this live, to back this on Kickstarter. Again, links, infectionpodcast.com. And again, Brian, thank you for doing that, and thanks to Nicholas for giving us the time for the interview. And I guess we'll roll right into this, Brian. If you or someone you know is a game developer in a similar situation like this, a zombie survival game, something that fits our genre for Infection, get in touch with us. We're going to try to book these interviews once every month or so. So get in touch with us, and we'll do the same thing, 15, 20, 25, 30 minute interview, depending on how all that goes, and just kind of promote your product. So that's we do need a name too. So if you have a name for this segment, let us know, send us a tweet at InfectionCast. But I think that's a good first installment, Brian. I appreciate you doing that. And, do you have anything now that you've obviously recorded the piece, listened to the piece probably two or three times now? Do you have anything you want to reflect on about the interview or the game or anything? Any other bits to add?
Well, the thing that I found the most interesting was, this is something that for them started years ago with a mod. And that seems to be a really popular thing happening now, to where these people that have made mods, and this is something that we'll probably see things coming from ARK now. I mean, ARK is really supporting their mod community. CryEngine, people were making mods, the people were making things on the Arma platform, and all those things that were kind of limited to the mods at that point now are unfolding into games. So it'll be interesting to see now what is currently being a mod, maybe that's made for some of these new platforms, what they turn into and the games that we're going to see in the future. Cause it didn't seem like that really happened that much before, of having, a game being a mod and then, now it's a game. I mean, I can't think of a ton, but they worked on,
what
he
a time
said
to
he
be
worked
alive.
On the Source Engine. Yeah. They worked on the Source Engine, and they worked on CryEngine, but now with engines being as open and as free as they are, it's very good. I mean, it doesn't cost a lot of money to get started in making a game anymore like it used to. Used to be there was huge amounts of license costs.
Remember we talked about this last week.
I'm trying to remember which one is. Oh, Weather Simulator.
I started some work on it this week. I'm 100% nice. Making this thing happen. I'll believe me. So look forward to it very soon. Maybe you can interview me, great. Brian, on the show about my new game.
So, are there zombies in this weather?
Yeah,
well, oh, look at that zombie walking across the field with a snowstorm.
You can upload your own JPEG and put a zombie into the game. It's going to be fantastic. Coming soon. Yeah. So now, Brian, you've backed this on Kickstarter. I have not, and I probably won't, because I don't really do Kickstarter. But obviously, you'll get this Q1 of next year.
Yeah, and they will have, this won't be the final opportunity to get it.
Okay, cool.
So, actually that was after, because I talked to him for a little bit after the recording ended. And, I said, is there going to be other opportunities for people to get the game, even if they miss the Kickstarter, because maybe someone's listening to this in a week and 3 days.
Yeah.
And they miss the chance to Kickstarter. There will be other opportunities, but one thing that they're going to have, I'm trying to think of what was... if there was anything he would have said that was just talking to me, but I think they're going to have some sort of a perk for having kickstarted it. I can't imagine there being a negative thing from saying that.
Yeah, no, that's common. That's typically how these work. You get, maybe your name in the credits or a special skin or something.
There's going to be some benefit of kickstarting it that you'll have versus maybe you wait.
Absolutely.
And, because that was a huge complaint that we had with Friday the 13th.
I should say that's a huge complaint you had with Friday the 13th, Brian.
Yeah, because you didn't buy it and I gave you my copy. I remember that.
Because you redeemed the copy that I was supposed to get. So, see, don't play this guilt game on me, Brian.
That you didn't pay anything for.
Yeah, well, they sent us a copy as media and you redeemed the media copy, even though damn well you bought the game.
Yeah, anyways.
So yeah.
Not that I'm bitter.
No, you're 100% bitter. So go ahead.
I'm more bitter at them that there was no benefit. There was no reason to kickstart that game
except giving it to me.
Well, yeah. Other than that, I got to give it away. But the thing was that it's not like you got a shirt. Right?
Yeah.
You had to pay a whole huge tier up to even get anything special for kickstarting it. And it costs the exact same price when they released.
Yeah, that's lame. I mean, that's just not a good...
I think that was poorly done, and so they're not doing that. That was my main point.
I mean, that would be like, we've kind of thrown around this idea of doing a Patreon. That would be like us being like, ooh, you get access to the YouTube feed Tuesday night after the show. It's like...
And you can get the audio-only downloads.
Yeah, exactly. You get the audio file. You get the MP3, the raw MP3. Which is the same MP3 that everybody else gets, but it's just stupid. So definitely I'll know this when I do my Kickstarter for my weather game. You got to offer people early perks when they buy. And it's just, this is the whole thing behind Kickstarter. You're essentially gambling. I mean, when you come down to the most literal aspect, you are making, if you want to throw the quotes around, an investment. It's a video game. Of course you're not literally investing money into the stock market or something, but you're making an investment. You're putting money into a product that may very well fail. And there may not be anything left of the product, or it may succeed. And now you get perks of that. So I don't understand why you would do a Kickstarter and not give the Kickstarters some type.
I had another, well, and that's the thing is like with this as well. People that get into it now, they'll have a chance to play in the alpha. From speaking to him, it sounded like it wasn't going to be an open alpha.
No, not like definitely not.
Everybody's going to be buying into it as the alpha's going. I had another game that I kickstarted that is actually, they released their alpha this week in Sarion. It's pretty much a live as a dinosaur simulator.
So, oh my God, I remember this one.
It's a survival game. But you start out as a baby dinosaur and you have to live the life cycle.
It's like the Ark mod.
It's like that, but it's more serious. It's not it's not very playful. You know what I'm saying?
Can you get more serious than Ark?
Well, yeah. You mean pooping everywhere every 10 seconds? And so this one, you start out and they tried to stick very closely to the feel and the realism of what a dinosaur would be like. So you start out as a baby dinosaur with some siblings and your parents. And so you have to kind of just live as that baby and then eat, find food and just do all the things that you would do. And then you grow to become, through the different stages of the dinosaur to where you're finally an adult. And then they're going to have more different dinosaurs that you can play. So right now with the first alpha, there's one dinosaur that you can play through.
Gotcha.
So it's kind of a unique, it's a different play on any of those things. And for people that are really into dinosaurs, I mean, any this is even something it's so far, it's pretty hard.
I guess that's
I've
good
died word. A lot. Yeah. I've died a lot in it, but I would assume at some point they can probably turn on some sort of a kids mode and it'd be even a fun thing for your kids to play. I mean, they just run around as a dinosaur and try not to get eaten. Trying to find food, things like that.
Great game for kids. There it is. You can check out Dead Matter. You've got just about a week or so to kickstart that if you so do. And imagine, if this game is a success, it will obviously, I would assume, be available on Steam later down the road once it comes to a state where it is playable. And he even mentioned the Steam Early Access Program, which it will probably end up rolling into. Once the Kickstarters have had their chance in early 2018 to look at it and they decide whether they want to go with it. So check it out. If you want to back it, you've got 7 days to do so. So there we go. I guess that's
all right. Do you want to talk about a prediction that we've been making for the last, 3 weeks now?
Yeah. Well, go ahead.
Okay. So Battlegrounds has reached the 500,000 point, because we've been guesstimating on this, how many active players.
Did you write this down in the book? I'm pretty sure you did. Brian has lost the book.
I set it somewhere. I cleaned my desk off.
Well, that's a problem because it's in the book, but yeah, the whole point of the book is to have the book available when you're doing the show.
I know. I didn't have it at ready access. Well, I know where it is, but I don't want to walk away from my desk to go pick it up.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to. You're going to have to go walk away right now and go get that book because you literally wrote down in the book when the thing. So this is the best thing I love about Brian, right? He says, I said, no, Brian, I'll do a prediction notebook. Don't worry about it. He goes, no, I want to do it. So he does the prediction notebook. And now, as I'm sitting here, it is 8 o'clock on Tuesday, and the book is gone. He's taken it into another room. Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. We've been talking about, where is the ceiling on this game? And earlier this week, just 2 days ago, so typically how this has been working with Player Unknown's Battlegrounds is it's the Sunday of every week is the peak day. I don't know why it's Sunday, but Sunday is the peak day for Battlegrounds. So last Sunday, 2 days ago, they reached 581,224 concurrent active players, just 20,000 short of 600,000. And obviously, I'll have the full numbers later on in the show. It's kind of riding on the coattails of my my other segment,
we didn't write it down, but I remember we said it at the end during the current players for the last couple weeks.
But yeah, but
we said probably be next week. Yeah, there is.
What's in there?
The last one that we did was the Amazon will offer a discount to try to push people to their service. Yeah, that was my last prediction.
What else? You got anything about like video? Like,
yours was when they were going to release Ark.
Oh yeah, what was that?
No, you said early 2018.
The most accurate source of survival information, infectionpodcast.com.
I said late October.
So
I was still off. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's going to be at the end of August.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I was a month and a half off probably, right?
Yeah. But I mean, you were at least, close. I was quite far away.
Yeah, you're if like only, 6 months off.
If only certification took a little bit longer, I'd be smooth sailing with that date. PHS, they can still delay it.
Get that turned around.
They can still delay it. You never know. It's not over till it's not over till I can walk into a GameStop and buy it. So yes, Battlegrounds just 20,000 shy, less than 20,000 shy of 600,000. All right, Brian, here's the prediction I want you to put down in that book. Where is the ceiling for, can this game hit 1 million concurrent active players? What's the level for you, Brian? Is it 750? Is it 800? A million? Where does this go?
Well, and the thing is we don't know what they're doing on consoles as far as this is out on, is it out on
it's
Xbox?
Not out, yeah, no, it's not out. It's not out on anything. This is
so the are only, we talking no, no Xbox?
No, I'm just because you can't track those. I'm talking about steamdb.info. What do you think this game will hit?
I think it's going to get in the 800,000 to 900,000 range.
All right, you write down whatever you want. Put me down for smack dab 1 million. I think that's possible. I mean, here's the thing. I will cover this in later on in the show, but this has jumped an unbelievable amount since last week. It's not like last week it was at like 499,232 and now it's at 581,000. It was like 20 or 30 or 40,000 short of 500,000 last week. They damn near almost picked up 100,000 new players concurrently.
That's the thing though is there's got to be a point where that graph, that
it's a bell curve.
Levels out, it peaks. Yeah, so there's got to be a point, but where's that at?
6.5 million people own the game. I mean, I think a million active is concurrent is possible.
I mean, as they release new maps and if they can just keep that emphasis going.
Oh, God. Once there's a new map, it'll probably hit it. So you can put me down for a million. And there's been no indication that it's stopping.
Million peak.
Million by the end of the year. That's the step by the end of the year. Yeah.
Okay. I'll put a note here.
Yeah. End of the year. Give it for both of us.
By 2018.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because who knows what the future will bring. But yeah, a million. I don't think that's impossible. But it's pretty crazy to think about because you look at the Steam, the other games on Steam that have this, and it's Dota 2 and Counter-Strike. And Counter-Strike's all-time high is 854,000. Could it break that? 31 million people own Counter-Strike CSGO. 31 million people own it. So can PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds hit 1 million? Dota 2's done it. Well, Dota 2's got 1.29 million.
I think this has crossed enough barriers of kind of people getting into it that maybe normally wouldn't. CSGO is kind of a certain type of person plays that game.
Yeah.
Even, you know, some of these other games that are on the top, Dota, a certain type of person plays that game. I think with this game, they're really pulling from a lot of the of people maybe that would normally play a console game.
Absolutely.
Are willing to come over and play Battlegrounds. Now, the question is, when are they releasing to Xbox? And if they do that, this will probably make it to where the growth on the PC version drops.
Probably.
But that doesn't mean that the game is becoming less popular, but you probably would have some of those people that maybe would be picking it up, you know, just because they didn't have an alternative to pick it up on their Xbox, then start getting it on the Xbox platform.
I mean, a couple of weeks ago, I said, I asked, or somebody sent me a private message of just regular YouTubers that do like, that are vloggers, and there's people playing, yeah. And they're playing PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. Like, people that don't play video games, people that aren't typically prone to playing. For example, I was watching a Philip DeFranco video last week, and he was talking about it. He doesn't play. I've never met. I mean, he doesn't strike me as a, you know, some, you know, crazy video game nerd. Everybody, Sarah, yep, says it. He says everybody is starting to play. Nobody is stopping. It's insane. It is. It's insanity. Everybody is playing this freaking game.
Well, and you'll get points where it's like, oh, there's lag, but that is not, that's not constant. The difference with this and, for instance, when we're playing King of the Kill. As King of the Kill, you would just rage after a while because of hackers. You'd rage after a while just because of inconsistency. Yeah,
well, it was just like the
this
same.
This game, you're not getting that as much. You're not getting that just onslaught of, man, I'm dying because of these stupid reasons.
Brian, if I remember back to the last time you and I played H1Z1 King of the Kill, we played four or five games in a row when we got the same crap spawn.
Time and time
again, and we just died like four games in a row. We just instantly died.
It came down to RNG. You couldn't, with King of the Kill, you couldn't really change. If you changed from where you spawned over, you pretty much were landing out in the middle of nowhere, yeah, and you wouldn't have the opportunity to get weapons right away. Here, you have total control over the point where you're jumping out of, and you can plan as you're in the plane, saying, "All right, I'm going to go here, and then I'm going to try this." Where when you spawn out into the parachute scene in King of the Kill, it's just like, all right, do I have a good spawn or not? This is going to determine the game. You know, and you can try to make the best of whatever the situation is, but that, then you have all these hackers, and then just, it just would create incredibly frustrating experiences.
Yeah, it's just very, very frustrating. And that is the last time I believe I played King of the Kill was that, and that was probably 2 or 3 months ago now, that you and I played that and just had just such a terrible, terrible experience. Just god awful experience. I had not played the game for months previously, and I played four games and was ready to bash my head into a freaking wall. I mean, it was just the stupidest thing I've ever done.
And I played a game of Battlegrounds last night, and I actually won a solo. Just, and I hadn't played for a little while because I've been really busy with school and everything else. Went in there, played one game, and I won. There you go. And so it comes down to, it's not so much like in King of the Kill, it really gets down to you're shooting at a pixel, and you have to know. I mean, we've talked about this before. You have to know where that pixel is.
Counter-Strike.
And kind of, it's you're just memorizing the weird inconsistencies of the game. Where this one is, you're aiming and you have to actually have good aim. You're not just learning what the weird things of the game are to try to win. Like, you look down the sight and you shoot. Like, the first half of the game, all I had was red dots. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not a certain formula to where I've seen some of the more popular streamers that are really good at King of the Kill. But for them, it comes down to math of, all right, I've got this helmet, I've got this body armor, I can tap. Okay, I took this many hits, I switched. You know, it's just, it's a very methodical game at that point to where they're like, oh, I two-tapped him on the chest. Okay, he's going to die next hit. Or, you know, whatever it is, like, they have it down and you know exactly what's going to happen. I like this to where it feels a lot more natural. You don't know what's going to happen. Someone can actually get away from you.
Exactly.
You can hide from somebody.
And here's the example, Brian, if I was to play against a Counter-Strike CSGO pro, they would like kill. PH. They would kill. Yeah, well, like PH, they would kill in a 1v1. That person is going to kill me 99 or 98% of the time. They're gonna kill. I may get lucky
if their mouse battery died or something. You may have a chance.
No, but you may not make it the lucky shot once out of 100 rounds. They will win 98 or 99 of them. Same thing with kind of King of the Kill. If I go up against some H1Z1 pro that has mastered the game, they are going to kill me, you know, 98 to 99% of the time. Battlegrounds, I think, is the complete opposite. If I go up against a pro, I think I have a decent chance because the game is so well balanced that even somebody like me, and I've said this a million times,
I suck at these games.
Yeah, I suck at these games. My aim is off. I crack under pressure. I'm just not good at these games. I'm pretty all right at PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. I can carry my own on a team in Battlegrounds.
Well, and even the fact that you can lay down in a field and you can be somewhat blended in and you can like kind of take your moments and like pick your shots. That's one thing. I mean, if you take a look at King of the Kill, there's no hiding in a field. There's no sniping people from a distance. Like if they can see your dot, like, oh, I'm going to shoot at that dot over there. And, you know, they're going to hit every once in a while. And then you see, I mean, but the thing is with that one, like the kick and everything is so, you're just kind of throwing it over them and then throwing shots and you hope that it hits. With Battlegrounds, you really have a sense of, this is like a real gun. It actually has that feel of I'm leading them, or, you know, they have the drop to where you're actually able to put the distance on the scope. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do. And so, like, yeah, Stairwave says, King of the Kill equals no strategy. PUBG equals strategy and tactics. And you can win a game with tactics, where when we were playing Battlegrounds, King of the Kill, half the time we were sitting in a bush waiting for the zone to go somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick and I remember when we played it together, we're like, we're just sitting here.
Yeah, we'd literally get up and do something. Literally get up, do something, and come back and be fine. I mean, you could leave for 5 minutes straight and you'd be...
You may lay down in Battlegrounds, but it's because you're trying to get a strategic point and you're actually waiting for somebody.
Yeah.
That was not the case in King of the Kill. You're just sitting there like, okay, the zone, we got to wait 15 minutes for the zone to reach us. We have every piece of ammo that we need. We have every gun that we can carry. We've got body armor. All right, let's just sit here. And
my favorite thing, and again, this is, you know, this is now somehow turned into the H1Z1 Bash Fest, but I mean, whatever, they deserve it. In King of the Kill, there would be games not too long ago where you would not see a single person until there were 10 people left. Even in Battlegrounds,
and it's
you
were trying to avoid anybody.
Yeah, you just didn't see anybody.
Yep.
And in Battlegrounds, while you may not necessarily have contact with people until closer to the end of the game.
You hear shots happening around you.
You hear shots, cars are driving by you, bikes are driving by you. There may be people going by you, but hey, you may just let somebody go because you end up, I've done that in Battlegrounds a whole bunch of times. In King of the Kill, I wouldn't not shoot at somebody. If somebody came anywhere near me where I could see them, I was taking the shot 100% of the time. In Battlegrounds, there's actually a decision to make because now I've given up my position and somebody's going to come hunt me down.
You knew in King of the Kill, if you can see someone, they can see you.
Exactly.
That's just how it works.
Yep. Like,
there is no, unless you're, you know, using third person to kind of see someone around a corner or something, you know that they can see you as well. And so it's just a very different game. With this one, yeah, you know, when you go play Battlegrounds, you can sit there and be kind of molded in. Like for me, I was able to take shots on people just because I was laying down and they didn't quite see me yet. You know, and I was just making a couple good shots. But that's something where it comes down to the engine. It comes down to be able to blend in. That's one thing DayZ did very well. DayZ did an excellent job of being able to, you know, especially with the ghillie suits. I mean, what's the point of the ghillie suits in King of the Kill? They don't do anything.
Yeah.
You don't blend into the environment on those. So, you know, that's the thing is you are able to, just like you were in DayZ, to lay down and you could actually be like a sniper, which is kind of a fun feeling.
Yeah, absolutely.
So anyways, I think other than that, there was an update saying that, because there were a number of disconnects that were happening, some server lag and things like that. So they put out a tweet saying, we have deployed a patch to fix the connection issue that some players have been experiencing. Thank you for your patience. And this was yesterday. So hopefully that will fix the issue of the disconnects, and it would just would say server lag. And you know, it would maybe last like 5 seconds sometimes. So
gotcha.
Well, hopefully that's the only update I've seen this week.
Yeah. And I unfortunately did not have a chance to, play Battlegrounds this week. I'm still trying to get everything all settled in here. Have you played it in the past week? I have not.
I played it last night.
I'm sorry.
I won a solo last night. Yeah. But other than that, like I've just here and there been able to get into like one or two games, but I haven't been able to play it very much this week. But you know, that's part of the thing is sometimes I only have a little bit. You know, if I see some people in there, I'll jump in and we'll do like one or two games. So, I mean, I've played it more than in probably any other game this week.
Okay.
So, you know, getting in 3-4 rounds.
Gotcha. All right, cool. Well, there you go. That is, that's PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds. There should have been an update out actually today, a weekly update.
Yeah.
But that does not appear to be out. So you will, hopefully we'll be able to bring that to you next week. You know, I do want to say though, they have been kind of slacking on their consistency. Excuse me, their consistency on their, I don't remember what they call them, the weekly updates. I guess they called them patches. So on their weekly patches, they've been
the back end. Well, they may not be. The thing is some of those are back end patches. So they, one of those is them updating their servers. So they may not put out a notice. Like for instance, they put out that thing saying they fixed the disconnect. So that would be actually a patch that happened on their servers. So
true.
They just don't seem to be making a note of it or putting out some sort of a patch note because it's all internal and it's not going out to the client. I think they're only notifying on updates to the client.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I guess that's kind of a question answered then. So
you're kind of, just thinking about it, that's what popped into my head. Because that one tweet they put out yesterday, that would be server updates. So there was a patch. What would be equivalent of a patch happening, but they're just not, which is fine as long as it works.
Yeah.
You know, a server patch is a server patch.
Gotcha. So, there you go. Check out Battlegrounds.
All right. Do we want to go ahead and do our first giveaway here?
Yes. What do we have? What are we giving away to the nice people tonight?
All right. So if you type !! giveaway in chat, this is going to be a 30-point raffle here. And I'm giving away a copy of Lost Horizon.
Okay.
And this is a point and click adventure. And so I'll put a link to it so you can go check it out. It's got very positive reviews. These are the kind of games that I really enjoy because they're kind of relaxed. You can sit back and just, you know, play for a little while. I especially love it when these things go to tablets because these are the perfect type of games for tablets. So, but if you're into point and click adventures, this has good ratings and worth about $10 right now. So if you want to do it, !! giveaway in chat, and we'll roll for that here in about 10 minutes.
Yes, of course. And part of what we're doing now with the giveaway segment is telling you how you can help support the show. So infectionpodcast.com/support. We have a couple different options, a couple different ways that you can help support the show. The first one is, as we talk about all the time, our Amazon affiliate program, our Amazon affiliate link. If you're in one of these 7 countries that we have listed here, you use our link on Amazon. It helps support the show. We get a little bit of commission for every sale everything that you purchase using our link. If you want to donate directly to us, you can do so through PayPal like we did during our PAX East trip. Or the new way that you can help support the show is the Humble Bundle. This has been very popular. A lot of people have been using this. So if you go to our website, infectionpodcast.com/support, click the big red Humble Bundle icon right before you're about to buy a game or right before you're about to subscribe for a monthly Humble Bundle. It will give us credit when you buy stuff. And I logged into our partner dashboard. There's a whole bunch of people using it buying games. So the same thing that we talked about last week with a couple of the bundles that are up right now. There's that Game Maker bundle, Game Remake bundle that has a whole bunch of those, some add-ons and stuff. There's the book bundle that is going on for some of the game development books. And there's a new one out now. They're calling it the Humble Micro Jumbo Bundle. They always have fantastic names for these. And then there's some, you know, smaller, like micro games.
I actually got that one today for one game. One game seemed hilarious.
Okay.
And so I... Which it's It's called Who's Your Daddy?
Yeah, that's the one I would have presumed that you'd purchased. Okay.
I mean, I'm sure it's a horrible game, but it just looks so hilarious.
Based on the cover art, it does not look, does not.
So
it's very, suggestive cover, Brian.
No. So this
absolutely it is. Go look at the picture.
So you're actually a dad, and you're watching your kid, and your kid's like doing everything possible to try to kill himself. So there's like bleach in the cupboards. Yeah, there's bleach in the cupboards, like the stove. There's a the stove. So the baby will try to crawl into the stove. So you're trying to do everything you can to try to
great anime.
Childproof the house. So you're doing everything you can to try to childproof the house.
How much did you waste?
$5, right? Or $4.
You're mentally ill.
You can get all those games for $4. And so the thing is the baby, you'll see here in a minute, like the baby goes up to the oven and opens the oven, gets in and turns it on. And so you have to run in there and try to, so you're just running through the house trying to stop every possible way for this baby to kill itself.
What a stupid game. What a complete waste. So this is what my weather game is going to be like. I need to get my weather game in a Humble Bundle.
You'll be set. Like all the people. And so you're just like having to turn off the flame and, try to open the door and just keep it from dying. I just saw that. I was like,
if you ever have a child, you'll be ready to go. I mean,
it's like preparation. It's like, baby, get out of the oven. And then, so then you lock the oven. So you're just kind of, you go through and then now the baby's going to crawl in cupboard and start drinking bleach.
No more of this. This is unbelievable. So you can pick that up.
Unity was a mistake. So these are all like Unity games.
Yeah.
It's amazing what comes out of Unity.
Surprise, surprise. They've got a couple of their book bundles, some of their mobile bundles, and of course their monthly Humble Bundle, which is on right now. Killing Floor 2 is this month's game. You've got 23 days to get that still. You can subscribe. It's $12 a month. And you get Killing Floor 2 and a whole boatload of other games every month with the monthly Humble Bundle as well. Actually, I know Ross just signed up for this last month, so he'll be getting his second Humble Bundle, which will be this.
I actually sent out a tweet here today just with a link to Battlegrounds because you get a discount if you buy it through Humble Bundles. So put a link out saying, hey, if anyone's interested in buying Battlegrounds, wants to get another copy, here is, here's our link for it. So that's on a tweet. So if you are looking, I just threw that out there today. And so if you happen to be listening and you haven't gotten Battlegrounds yet, just go to our Twitter feed and you'll be able to get a link from there. And that'll give us some support.
Yes. So anything that you do buy on the Humble Bundle site supports the show. If it's a game, if it's a bundle, if it's a subscription, all of those support the show. So, and as I said, people are using it. So again, we appreciate everybody that's been buying games on that. If you're going to buy a game on Steam and it's not on sale, go look at it on Humble Bundle.
You'll still get it on Steam.
Yep. And it'll just help us Humble Bundle. So, since obviously Steam is not sponsoring the show, you could check it out on Humble Bundle. So there you go.
Infection Podcast. We'd be rich during the Steam sale if they did.
Yeah, could you imagine that? InfectionPodcast.com. Well, just from you, though. I don't think you're allowed to use your own code. So yeah. InfectionPodcast.com/support. And we appreciate everybody using that link. All right, Brian. A couple of quick ARK updates this week. What's going on with ARK? Still on track for the release?
These are some of the small ones because mm-hmm. they're doing all these other things in the background. So I think they're just kind of doing some little fixes for the live client, because you got to think I'm sure they've split off at this point. They have a whole nother build that they're preparing for the actual release. And so they're not really adding things anymore because they've gotten console certified. So it's not like they're going to go now and change a bunch of the things for everything else.
Why would you do that? That wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're just preparing for whatever from here on out that's new content is just going to be released at the time of the release. So,
gotcha.
This is 264.3, and this was on August 4th. So they now have a fix of dead tame bodies and player bodies and dropped items caches now save with their decomposition timers and corpse locators intact. So this is probably something to where maybe if a server crashed or something, they would lose that information of where that was. So now it actually saves with a server save. So those things will, if you have to shut down or do a save, and somebody's trying to get back to their body or something, all those things will still be there. Character current stat values saved at zero will no longer reset to their default values. The Dunkleosteus, right? Now harvests metal. So you can use that to gather metal nodes. So dinosaur costumes now show damage overlays. The modified dino attack attacks networking to result in less rubber banding on clients. So they modified the dino attacks networking. So it's just more efficient. So it shouldn't, when you start attacking, it shouldn't start rubber banding your dinosaur. The per dino behavior setting to toggle ally looking. So they added an ally looking behavior for the dinos. So, and then they did 2.64.32, just small three small fixes. And I'm still waiting for my answer on True Sky, like what they changed with the sky. And no one's replied to me yet on that. So hopefully we'll get
Don't they
answer.
Know who we are?
I mean, I asked in their forum and then like nobody's responding to anything. So 2.64.32, this was August 8th. So this was today. And this is, they fixed the SM4 sky. And so that is, I think, the low quality sky. Because it doesn't handle as much. So that's usually for lower performance. They fixed a client chat issue and they fixed the center landscape material issue. So in the landscape material is like the dirt that you see on the ground, that kind of generic flat material that covers the ground or, you know, makes it look like kind of sand when it's on a beach versus going to dirt. That's that landscape material. So they fixed something that was an issue with that on the center.
Well, there you go.
That's pretty much it. That's the whole week of patches, which is really out of character for them. So that, you know, that something is happening in the background there. Cause it's not like they're just taking the week off.
Yeah. We're going to have to find a new game to do patch notes with every week. Once Ark is out, obviously they'll still be doing patch notes for a while, but something's got to come up and
so
fill up the gap.
My guess, one thing, you know, because it's not like they're going to just stop doing stuff.
Of course.
Now, one thing that they've talked about is doing the Ark Primal server or Ark Primal survival, which is you kind of like that other game I was talking about where you actually play as a dinosaur.
Okay.
And so you live the life cycle. So eat anything from those ants, like the big ants that there are. If you play as an ant, you actually go down into the ground into a hole and like you're living as an ant. So that I assume that would be a pretty big, it's not like all the stuff is in the game already. You have to make each of the little housing things. So it says as dinos, you can make packs and construct primitive dens. So each type. So maybe if you were a bird, you could make a nest, like, they'd have to create all that stuff. So that would be an interesting one to see if, and it's way different. And then they could come up with game modes where maybe it's you being a dinosaur, kind of like a PvP thing of you being a dinosaur versus humans. I mean, come up with all kinds of crazy stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So we'll see. So that's the only thing I've seen on their plate other than the Primitive Plus, but who knows if that's going to, or not the Primitive Plus, the Survival of the Fittest. I don't know if they're going to actually go anywhere with that.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because I think it had some potential. I played it maybe two or three times. The biggest problem with it was, first of all, the games were so long. And it just, the whole process of getting everybody in it was just a real pain. I do hope, because didn't they show it at PAX in 2015 and then right after that it just kind of went away? Because they showed it somewhere.
About the Survival of the Fittest?
Yeah.
Or are you talking about they showed the Primal Survival.
No, Survival of the Fittest.
It was a video.
Survival of the Fittest.
I mean, they had it out for a while.
But they did an event with it at PAX East or PAX West, and then it just kind of died.
I just don't think it was polished enough.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's polished enough, but it may be that now that they're actually released, like now that they have a final product, they can then create some sort of a PvP thing that uses all the new UI that has, you know, think how rough Survival of the Fittest was. Like
the
grouping system was really rough. It just didn't work well. So you could tell it's definitely a test, but I think now they have enough content. They'll have enough time to where they can decide, do we want to follow either one of these? And if so, you know, just go after it. And I'm sure they can do a good job with it.
At this point,
either one, I mean, they'll be able to do something.
At this point, I would say, though, with PlayerUnknown's Battleground being so popular, I would think Survival of the Fittest would be kind of competing in some respects.
Thing is, it's enough of a different concept to where they may, you know, they'll bring in different types of people. It's not like you're doing, you know, a CSGO and then there's variants of CSGO. Like, this is kind of its own thing. There's not very many places where you actually have to tame dinosaurs and craft things and do a whole bunch of stuff while we're doing this. So I mean, I don't know, it might work. I think there's probably a lot of people that are kind of waiting till the Battlegrounds fever kind of dies down a little bit, just because it's probably hard to compete in anything that's online. I mean, they're pulling over 500,000 people that could be playing other games at the moment at any one time.
Yeah, I mean, it's damn near impossible to compete.
I think at some point, you know, once, not that Battlegrounds is going to play its course, but when it's no longer the game to play, you know, then some other games will start having a chance.
Yeah. No, there you go. I do hope they do end up doing something with Survival of the Fittest, though, because it was fun. It was just really tough. They made it really hard to play, and it wasn't their fault. Yeah. I think it was just kind of a side project, it wasn't polished. Yeah, a side project that a couple people were working on. So, again, Ark still on track for their release here in a couple of weeks. And we will, hopefully they stay on track with that. And then,
I'm pretty sure. Was it the 29th? Is that when we announced?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was the 29th.
It is the 29th. So 3 weeks.
So we're exactly 21 days away. So
yes. So we'll see. We'll of course keep you up to date. If anything changes, we'll bring that to you next week. H1Z1 King of the Kill. We had a bit of a small update this week. They were talking about some hit registration and stuff like that. So a couple of bug fixes that were inside of this patch. First thing here is that they were able to identify one of the issues that caused the frame rate hitches. Now this is what they're referencing, I think, is kind of when your game just freezes for a couple of seconds and then kicks back in. I think that's kind of what they're talking about when it's a hitch. It's not a frame rate drop, not a frame rate dip, when the game almost kind of locks up momentarily. I know Battlegrounds got a huge problem with that. That happens to me constantly in that game. And they talk about, that they found one of the offenders. And they also do say, and I think we said this a couple of weeks ago, if you have these problems, record it, report it. And they said they love clips. And all game developers, if you are sending a report to an early access game, take a video or a screenshot or something. Provide them with details so that they can fix it. The Stream Deck and other similar devices should function properly. Now fixed a rare client crash that could occur when simultaneously reloading and shooting. Again, I think this is part of the update that we talked about last week.
I think they were on test.
So those are the bug fixes that were on test. Now, these are some of the new hit registration improvements. Player hitboxes have been slightly adjusted to provide more consistent hit feedback. This is the biggest issue with the game right now is inconsistency in firing. It's not always the same. So if they're able to kind of narrow that back down, they may have a chance of kind of bringing some people back to the game that just refuse to play it now because it's so inconsistent. Neck shots are now critical hits. Obviously, as they should be. I guess they weren't before. They're probably just regular body shots. Reduced idle head.
Yeah, I think they said because there was a transition from the head shot to the body shot. Now they have kind of an in between that's middle damage.
Exactly,
it's still a pretty decent hit.
Yeah, of course. Especially the neck's not a big object to shoot at. Reduced idle head bob animations for some consistent hit registration against stationary targets. And then also on with that with hit registration, loot bag projectile collision has been removed so that they will no longer block shots. So I guess previously, if you were laying down on the ground and trying to shoot, a loot bag would stop a bullet from going through it.
Yeah, you can hide behind it.
I guess so. You can hide behind it. They no longer do that. So you will have to, you can now shoot through them. A couple anti-cheat things, third-party protection updates, improved security on specific file types, adjustments to the automatic flagging system, and then a quality of life update. They removed a few gas ring endpoints that were on the extreme edges of the map. Again, we talked about this, creating unfavorable game-ending scenarios. That's always something.
Now, this is on live.
Yes, this is hot.
Because last week, this was their test, so now we're live. So, and this is the only update. I don't know that there's any difference between tests.
I don't think the hit registration was in the test update. I could be wrong.
And they were talking about it, but I don't think they had.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So now it's all implemented.
There you go. So you can check that out. It's on live. There were no updates, no significant updates that we're talking about with Just Survive. We're still. I would imagine. See, I think they made a mistake with Just Survive. I was thinking about this this weekend. I was thinking about Just Survive. You know, they released it, and there was some hype behind it. I know, Brian. You and I were all jazzed up about it. And then it's just kind of. I know there's some people that are still pretty enthusiastic about it, but for the most part, I think most people have just kind of given up on it until there's really something to test. And I guess maybe that's just the nature of. It being on test server is people will only really care when there's a new update. So that's, you know, that's that.
Yeah, there, Sturvey's bringing up, there is a new weapon for King of the Kill. But it's pretty much just a shot. It's not in game yet.
I did see this. There's some speculation.
It's one of those high res. Yeah. There's one of those high res shots from the side that doesn't look at all what it's going to look like in the game. So we can pull that, but yeah, they will be putting in a new gun. And I know that they sat down in probably about 3 months ago, did a bunch of recordings for gunshots. And they actually showed at that time.
Yeah.
We talked about that at the time. They showed a lot of different guns with silencers, without silencers. So it'll be interesting to see if they go through and actually put silencers and things like that in the game since they're doing recordings for those.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
It was a render of an MP7. So,
and they didn't show what gun it was, but people were able to kind of point out the similarities between some of the features of the gun, and show it, and kind of, you know, do some cross comparisons and try to figure out what it is. So, forward to that coming into the game here sometime soon, and as we wait for Just Survive.
The MP7 SMG is what it's supposed to be. The Hellfire 4.6.
There you go. And I would imagine that will be probably ported into Just Survive as well.
As well at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There'd be no reason for them not to.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, they did say that they want to have different looks for the guns there. So, I mean, they do have the different textures and things they put on there. So it may look a little bit different, but I'm sure it'll perform the same.
Yeah.
All right. So there's a video for Conan Exiles. I don't know. Do you want to play that video?
Do you want to do the game giveaway first?
Yeah. So let's go and roll this really quick. All right. So congratulations, Firebomb. Good thing he showed up in time.
You should reroll. I don't feel comfortable giving him that game.
So it'll give him something other than Friday the 13th place.
Yeah, there you go.
Congratulations, Firebomb. I will send you actually, this will just be a Steam key. So I will probably just send it to you inside of Discord.
There you go. Now, have you watched this Conan Exiles update? Is it talking or is it just?
Yes, there's talking in it. Okay. It's talking over the whole
thing. Gotcha. So one of the big things that we've talked about with Conan Exiles is, like, the map was all right, but there was just lack of anything to do on the map. In my opinion, the map was all right size, but it was just kind of empty. I mean, Brian and I went up to one of the cities, and it was just kind of empty, and there was a whole bunch of big monsters that just killed you. So with this is a new expansion that they are working on. So we'll roll the video, and then we'll come back and discuss some of it.
So far, the story of Exiles has been one of sand and blood and sweat. But now Funcom would like to invite you to join us as we venture into the frozen north. The new biome is a significant increase to the landmass of Conan Exiles, giving people completely new environments to explore with different types of weather conditions to deal with. With the change in environment, there's a change in the resources available for you, the player. That means new types of plants, new types of stone and metal, new types of animals to hunt, and new types of enemies to destroy. You'll encounter exciting new factions. The heirs of the North are made up of Nordheimers, people who drink all night and fight all day. In the gloomier parts, there is the Forgotten Clan, who live among the mounds of the dead, the remnants of an ancient battlefield. Every night, the Whites rise from the ground and attack the Forgotten Clan. Finally, among the frozen slopes of the mountains, you will find the Frost Giants. Together, they have created a great edifice to their god, the Temple of Frost. In addition to the Temple of Frost, there's another multi-level dungeon known simply as the Black Keep. In the halls of the Black Keep, you will encounter traps, tricks, treasures, and finally, Tyros, the Deathbringer. Included in this update is the new temperature system, which allows your character to feel the punishment of both freezing cold and extreme heat. You might want to wear light, loose clothing when you're in the desert, and you might want to wear heavy, fur-lined armor when you're in the cold, frozen north. There are over 300 new items in this area for you to loot, craft, and trade. Of course, it isn't just about clothing. The new crafting machines allow capabilities in Conan Exiles that were not previously available. Things like placing fish traps into a water source and waiting until it fills with fish that you can then press for oil. Placing beehives in the world, populating them with honey, and then using them to brew alcohol. And then as you drink that alcohol, it will protect you against certain status effects. But on the negative side, it will of course make you thirstier and give you a hangover, which makes you feel pretty bad. If you want to build in the snowy slopes of the north, you're going to need something that will insulate you against the cold. With the new update, we've introduced two new tiers of building: insulated wood and black ice reinforced stone. These new types of buildings are equivalent to tier 3 and tier 2 building tiers from the desert, except that they insulate you against the cold and the ice. We've updated the character creation with this update. Finally, you'll be able to choose the beard that adorns the face of your favorite barbarian and different colorings for those facial hairs. In addition to that, there's a new god to choose: Ymir, the Frostfather.
All right, pretty significant update from Conan Exiles, Brian. We have been talking for quite a while, and I'll have the current players for you coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I mean, this game is in a really tough spot right now. It had a lot of hype when it came out. I remember frantically, when that game released, frantically trying to get on a server and build something because the hype was real, and since then, it has really just kind of died off because, I mean, 300 new
enough to do
300 new items in that area. I mean, that's a significant upgrade to the game.
Plus, I mean, there's a huge map expansion. You know, they're coming up, and that's the thing. This game just needed content. It needed. I mean, we ran into somewhat of the same thing with Ark early on, to where your main thing is you would build a base and you try to get better dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have a lot to do after that, and they formed that over time. They kept adding to it and making it more of a something you had to work through. With this, they just needed a lot of that content. I mean, they released early and they put out just the initial set of here's stuff you can build, here's, you know, what level you can get up to, and here's the map that you can explore. But on that map, there wasn't really any kind of bosses to do. There wasn't really anything that you could go and find and make happen. It's pretty much you just would make your base and then you'd run around and kill things. And so now they're actually getting it to where there's bosses and dungeons and things to do, to where they'll be able to stretch out a experience out to where you're not just instantly getting to the top level, making a big base and then sitting there. Cause that's what a lot of our people ran into is, okay, you know, I got everything now, what do I do? So hopefully that's getting corrected. And now they have a lot bigger area. Plus, kind of similar to what Ark has, having the different biomes to where, you know, you have to work to get insulated clothes for this one area. And you have to have another set of clothes. Just doing things to take up time. I mean, that's the important part that I think they're really doing in this.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you know, again, we had access to the game early. I really enjoyed the game. I thought it was really cool. Yeah. I liked the concept.
We'll have to go back to it at some point. Like, we'll have to decide, kind of like we've done some other games, at what point, you know, when they add a certain amount of content, we'll just have to set a date. Because, I mean, they're adding stuff. But I think after a couple of major releases, it might be fun to get the group back together again and go in there and try it out and just see how, because, you know, this is one where people haven't been going back in and trying it out to see how the progress has been.
Very true. Very true.
So when we go in there, it should be a very new and fresh experience because the game has changed so much over the last, you know, however many months.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, one other thing, we had a 7 Days to Die update. And so this was, it says on here, official alpha 16.1 release notes, but this is actually the 16.2. And I think it was just mislabeled, but a lot of fixes because they just did their 16.1 major update.
Yep.
And so they went in through here and they're just doing a lot of the fixes. When you do a huge update all at once, and people don't have a chance to really bug test. I mean, it was just pretty much, it was the streamers that were playing it. So they didn't have a lot of opportunity for people to go in and give bug reports. But they did a number of, I mean, just they added a few things like recipes for oil and paper, one level deep backup system for players' data files. So now it does a better job of backing things up. So you're less likely to lose something. Added more stealth debug introspection under the F3 menu. The random world generation hub cell download block spawning the player and chunks until finished. The random world generation hub cell pregen block spawning the player and chunks until finished. The random world changes for hash getting from 2-string to 2-culture invariant string. So this is very programmerish terms. And then random world generation prefab size check optimization. So those are things that they added to this newest version, probably because they put in that whole random world generation system, and it sounds like they're having to put in things to make sure that it probably doesn't do things corrupted or crash. Then they did a few changes, increasing damage and kind of mainly messing with damage. And then they did a decent list of fixes. Now they do have unknown issues at the end. On-screen keyboard is only available if you start the game from Steam's big picture mode. So if you're playing it maybe from, you know, from something that's streaming it over the network, you may want to keep a note of that because it won't show the keyboard. Smell is not working with a new stealth. We revisit that in Alpha 17. Too many airdrop crates spawning and crates spawning underground. Throwing rocks does not distract zombies like it's supposed to. So you may want to keep that in mind if you're throwing a rock thinking it's going to send them the other way and save your life. It is not. Global UV support inhibits anisotropic filtering, and it has to be calculated in the shader. Wet concrete, not drying, sleeper spawning issues continue. Farming of crops other than yucca and hops affect performance. Zombie rates rotate on the ground before standing up. Precipitation and cold temperature going through windows, glass blocks, doors, and hatches. Excessive use of trigger plates may cause server to lag during hordes. Bear may not attack properly on slopes, and running zombies may be airwalking after ladder usage. So those are the current bugs that you may see. So hopefully we'll see a 16.3 here that addresses those final remaining things. So that is Alpha 16.2 for 7 Days to Die. And we still have a server up. So,
oh, do we? Okay.
I said we would keep the server up until people stop playing it. So I want to see. It's probably to that point.
Yeah, I would say.
I could throw some other game up there if people are interested. But we will. We may take it down here if it still goes unplayed here for like a week.
Yeah. With games like 7 Days to Die and Miscreated, they're fun to play every once in a while. And I like that we can get mobilize the troops as we say and get people together for game nights like that. So cool. Well, do we know what we're doing for this week's game of the week?
Yeah, so we'll do Battlegrounds because that seems to be what people fall back on too.
Cool.
We had our game of the week last week and there's one person in there playing Game of the Week and the rest, everyone else was playing Battlegrounds. So
there you go. That's a real problem. I see. Unfortunately, I wonder if we can call a player known and say, hey man, can you shut off the servers for a couple of hours on Friday night? We got our Game of the Week. I'm sure he'd do it for us. I mean, he's a fan of the show, friend of the show.
I'm sure. Yeah. He wouldn't mind.
Big fan. So I'm sure he wouldn't mind knocking off, 600,000 concurrent players.
But I will be there this week, I'm pretty sure. So
I will be here this week. Unfortunately, I will be unable to attend our Infection board game night, but I'm hoping that people still show up for it. It's going to be Saturday the 12th. I've got a radio gig at local Comic-Con that I have to attend to. So I'll be doing that on Saturday. But the goal is still Saturday afternoon, evening-ish. Secret Hitler is going to be the game on Tabletop Simulator, if there's enough people. If not, Saul has picked out another game. I can pull it up here. It's going to be either... the game is going to be Secret Hitler if we have five or six people. If not, it's going to be Sharks and Sea Monsters if they don't have enough. So that's another board game. So either way, there will be a board game Saturday afternoon into Saturday evening. Saul's kind of in charge of that, and he'll let everybody know what's going on with that. So check that out. Saturday, Friday, Battlegrounds, Saturday, our Affection monthly board game. And I do apologize for not being available for that one, but this kind of came up last minute. So there you go. You can check those things out.
All right. So do we want to go and roll into our Rust video, or do you have a preference on what order we do this in?
Let's go to some other stuff first. We can do the Rust thing if we have. There's games, a couple games we haven't talked about in
if
a while.
We have time.
Yeah. And the big one is Friday the 13th, and I want to thank Firebomb, who, as we always ask people to do in the news channel inside of our Discord, posted a link to some of the stuff here that we're going to talk about. So as always, we appreciate him doing stuff like that. So for Friday the 13th, what we have here is a pretty big update, and this is changes to the game in reference to team killing, which, I mean, come on, guys. You didn't think team killing would be a problem. I mean, it's every game deals with team killing. The internet's just a brutal place. They didn't think team killing would be such a problem. I guess essentially what they say keeps happening is essentially the matches turn into battle royales, where it's just the counselors just end up killing each other, and Jason doesn't end up killing most of the people. So in the next patch, public games, now this is the key, public games. So the private matches that we did, you'll still be able to team kill, which typically wasn't a problem in private games, but in the public matches, you will no longer... it will no longer allow counselor team killing through the weapons like the shotgun, machete, or any of the assorted weapons. They will no longer affect friendly players, and the friendly players are all other counselors. So you're safe now if you're another counselor and somebody's trying to kill you. What they do say, though, is that the car will still be able to run over friendly counselors as it did, because the fear is that people will stand in front of the car and you won't be able to move it. So if you're outside of the car, you'll still be able to get run over by counselors.
Stop that trolling option.
Exactly. Counselors will still be able to get hit by the cars. Traps still, this was another troll method, is that counselors would place traps down all over the place and they'd kind of screw their own teammates by trapping them and killing them. That will still happen, but there'll be no XP penalty if you get caught in a friendly trap that has been placed, but they do say to watch out for those. And then, and kind of to wrap it up, they say in private matches, team killing is still possible. So, we can't have nice things according to them. So, there's their concept. I don't know what they thought was going to happen, but that's kind of how the internet rolls. So, team killing is possible in private matches, in public, not anymore. I guess the game must have gone maybe pretty south with team killing.
Yes,
because when we played,
it's been an issue.
When we played, there was some team killing, but it wasn't the majority.
Wasn't
of the game.
Focus
exactly. That seems to have that seems to have changed in the past. Now the other thing, what we do is there are some new emotes that are available in their typical 80s style with the new free communication. So there's going to be 8 emotes, and they say all for free. So we've got to we got to bow down and thank the thank Gun Media for gracing us with their free DLC. You know, a couple of emotes. I'm sorry. It just it's an easy target. It's low hanging fruit.
Well, okay. So my frustration is what the fact that they make such a big deal that this is free means that their full intention is to charge for everything else.
Yes, exactly my problem.
And this should just be a feature in the game. I mean, honestly, they've done such a poor job of doing a lot of things in this game that they should be doing everything they can to keep people interested in wanting to continue to play it. Because if you look at this, it's like, okay, 8 free emotes. This should be just throw them in the game and don't make a big, like, say, hey, this is an update. We added some cool new things. Quit saying the word free. Quit saying this is going to cost you later. Everything I hear about skins is how much they're going to cost. And nonstop, every little skin talks about money, money, money. There's one skin that they put on the market that they put on there for $400 because they didn't remove it. They said, some of them, our fans will pay for it.
There you go.
$400. They put it on rather than taking it off. They put it on there and said, "Oh, we'll just make the high price really high." And maybe some of we have the type of fans that'll buy it.
And they do. Like, I mean, we learned that from PAX, which is type of fans that are just so well, they'll gloss over anything. These people can do no wrong. But I just exactly, and the reason I said they graced us with their presence with free is because when you say that. Like, for example, I don't remember Ark being every time they introduce something new, be like, oh, and this is a free new dinosaur we're adding to the game.
People freaked out the one time they asked you to pay for something.
Yeah, DLC, which was literally like 3/4 of a new game.
Which was a whole separate game pretty much.
But Ark didn't say, oh, we're adding new free dinosaurs to the game. Because if you say that, you're indicating that paid dinosaurs, for example, if we started saying this is the free portion of the podcast, that would be the indication that there is a paid
portion
either later or a different version of the show that is paid. No, this is the podcast. There's no indication of anything else. So when they and maybe this is just their way of saying like, oh, screw some of these other game developers. This is going to be free, but they say all free, indicating that these 8 are free. The next 8 will be paid, which again is fine if they want to do that. But
they did a second tweet right after that.
Okay.
And it says, currently in progress are 3 new maps variants to promote faster paced gameplay being added for free as well in an upcoming patch. And it says free DLC. So this is fast paced match. They're 40% smaller maps. And so it says 40% smaller, 100% deadlier. So they're now promoting the smaller, and then they're saying that these ones are free, but there's smaller maps.
And again, this may be just, they may just not be thinking of this. They may just be using free as a marketing buzzword to kind of, make people like, oh, cool. You know, it's free. But they're totally making it seem like things like this. And again, maps now, okay, now you're talking about a different thing. If you want to release like 5 new maps and charge for them, that I really don't have a whole hell of a lot of an issue with. But like emotes
and
stuff.
But the thing is these are the same maps. They're just
small.
Like, the closer together, yeah, everything is smaller.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same maps.
But it's not like the map was too big before. I was bringing this up in Discord, and I think I was talking to Firebomb about it. And my issue is that they could slightly adjust the stamina system. They could slightly adjust the player movement speed and fix this issue rather than making whole new smaller maps.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I don't know why they just wouldn't make it to where you have the ability to sprint longer, or just you don't walk an incredibly slow pace. I mean, I showed a picture earlier, and it's like in these games, I understand that they're trying to do a balance of catering to the people that love these type of horror movies. They're catering to those people. And you know how in the old horror movies, how someone, you know, these killers are always just walking at a slow, leisurely pace, right?
Yes. No, no.
And
urgency.
Someone is trying to get away from them. Yeah. And they fall down and they just can't seem to get the energy to stand back up and keep walking. And so they start crawling on their hands and knees to get away from this walking killer behind them.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, they're trying to capture that feeling of, all right, we're moving really slow. We're getting scared. We're walking even slower. Well, I think they could get rid of that.
And
you know, and just and have a more fun game.
And PH is saying, and this is exactly what I was just going to ask you, Brian, he says, nobody asked for smaller maps. Why are they working on this? I mean, that would be my, again, maybe I'm out of the loop on the Friday the 13th lingo or the current play style, but all they're doing is moving the points of interest closer to each other, and they weren't far away previously. It's not like the
maps. The thing is, the maps weren't that big.
No, that's
you can move across the whole map in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, literally maybe five minutes of time.
Five to 10 minutes, you could be across the whole map.
Not 10 minutes, way too long. 5 minutes.
I'm just talking about if you're injured and you're walking slow, like that's the max amount of time it would take.
Okay, I'd agree with you on that, but it's just it just doesn't make any. Why not three new maps that are smaller? Maybe that's what
the thing is these are all the same assets. But the thing is, we're working with a very specific set of movies. Now, the thing is Jason Goes to New York. I mean, I don't think that they have the resources. You know, if they're going to be doing this, you know, they'd have to be putting a lot of resources in to make a model of New York City. And they'd have to make a very different game.
Oh, yeah.
These, if you think about this map, like everything is the same. You know, it's just cabins and, you know, so they're saying we're getting three new maps here, but they're really just probably that map broken up into three parts.
And isn't it funny that they say that these are free? It's the same map.
It's the same content.
It's just a little bit smaller.
They probably cut them in just in sections. You know what I'm saying? Like they probably took the map and broke it up into thirds and here you go.
I don't know. I mean, again, so I don't want this to be, the, you know, crap on Friday the 13th show, but you're literally taking the same maps, making them smaller and then saying they're free. Well, God, I hope they're free. Cause it's the same goddamn maps that are already in the game. Why you couldn't possibly charge me for those?
If they were to make a New York one or one from a more difficult scene, that would be something I could see you saying, all right, this is a paid upgrade. Like, cause that's a huge amount of work.
No, hold on.
That would be a huge amount of assets.
I agree with you. Firebob is saying it, we really don't know. It could be a different map. No, it says it's new map variants.
They have pictures of Crystal Lake. It's all the same stuff.
Yeah, but it says map variants. Those are the same maps changed. Game mode variants are the same game mode with tweaked, points or tweaked kills or something like that. Variants are the same thing, just modified. They say currently in progress are three new map variants to promote faster paced gameplay.
But the thing is it shows the existing locations for these three maps.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It doesn't show new locations. It's just showing those three locations individually. So that's kind of the odd thing about this.
And maybe
were to put out a big change graphically, I would understand that then maybe charge something because I don't know how much they made off of this, you know, if they made enough to continue a bunch of forward development, but I don't think they're continuing to sell a bunch of copies.
And again, I'm not, and I mean, Brian and I will be the first to admit we are not anti-capitalist game developers where, oh, you can't make any money. If they want to release new maps and charge for them, I hope they do. And I hope they make a lot of freaking money. I'm not saying they shouldn't, but I mean, this whole concept of, oh, we're doing the customer right by making the maps a little bit smaller and giving it to them for free. Yeah, you're damn right you're giving it to me for free because I already paid for these maps. I paid for you to develop these maps.
I paid $40.
I paid $40 as well. I paid $40 for this as well, Brian.
Yeah, you're right.
So I paid with my time at a PAX panel for this, Brian.
Yeah, that's right.
My heckling at a PAX panel. I just don't set us up like this with this. It's gonna be free because we're helping you, the little guy, out by giving you free content. I don't like that. I don't like that at all. And again,
I don't see that they're gonna come out with anything drastically different in this game. Personally, no. I just don't see any hints that they're going to be releasing any new, other than making variants of Jason's. Making variants of some of the animations, because that's pretty much what they're doing is mocap capture. I mean, they're doing that now. You know, they may add existing, but there's going to be a limit to that. There's being that they stick so strictly to the Friday the 13th lore, they're only going to have a certain number of Jasons. They're only going to have a certain number of outfits and masks. And they only have a certain number of, well, these are counselors, but, you know, people to kill. Yeah. You know, once they run out of that, there's no more. That since they've refused to kind of build on the lore, it's not like this is a variation of the lore. This is the lore.
Yeah. Literally, case closed. This is the lore. So, we should do this again for a game night in a couple of weeks, because maybe when these new maps are out, we could do private matches with these, because we haven't played this game in quite a while.
Yeah. And they've fixed a lot of things since, you know, mm-hmm. It'd be interesting to see just how that's changed. You know, how does this feel different?
Absolutely. And again, when we play this, it was fun, but it was fun for a little while, and it would not have been fun if we continued to play it. So we'll do this for a game night in a couple of weeks. Everybody besides Firebomb in chat is very unimpressed.
No.
they'll play Battlegrounds anyway. What the hell's the point? PH has got family stuff on that Friday, so he'll
whatever Friday it is. I'm just gonna mention some of these other things.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up.
The next day is a game that I had a chance to play a little over a week ago, and they put out a couple of patches. It's a game that's been out for a while, but they just finally came to Steam, and they're still probably got a big kind of a revitalization with their player base, having come to Steam and getting a lot of people playing again. So they put out two patches this past week for that. And then Hurt World, this is mostly stuff on the test server. So it's not to live yet. So I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, just because this is something that we will be talking about again later once they go to live server, or, you know, go to the live here. But this is experimental patch 0.4.3.0. And one thing that I wanted to mention is that they're going to be having a new map on there. So this will be the first time. I don't remember there being any other kind of options for Hurt World, but they're going to be having a new map that they're putting on there. So hopefully they'll have that to where we can maybe do that as a game night once they have that new map out. And then The Long Dark actually had four patches this week. A lot of it was fixes, since they're doing kind of like they did what Ark is going to do of, here's a bunch of stuff that's saved up and that you don't get to see, and then we're going to show it to you all on the day that we officially release. And so this is just a lot of fixes that they did to kind of get things that people didn't have a chance to test and find the bugs on, because it all released at once. And I'm sure we'll have the same thing with Ark. There will be some things that they'll put out some patches over the initial days right after it. And then Sarion, that's the one where I was talking about before, where it's the kind of like a dinosaur simulator. You play the life as a dinosaur. They put out a patch, but they, as of last week, are finally in alpha. They were Kickstarter project. This is their first alpha that's released where you can go play it if you're a backer. And so just wanted to announce, if you have that game, they did put out a fix for some things in that as well. So let's announce really quick the next game giveaway, or else we won't have time to actually do it. So exclamation point giveaway in chat, putting that in there. This will be another 30 points raffle. And then I'm going to give away a copy of Pillars of Eternity.
Okay.
And this is a game that, let's see, it is about $44.99 right now. So it has mostly positive recent, very positive overall. And this is an RPG fantasy isometric single player CRPG type of game. It's just under $45 at the moment. We'll be giving a copy of this away, so you're more than welcome to type exclamation point giveaway in chat, and we'll roll for that right before the show ends.
Yes, very cool. All right. Well, do we have any other? Have you kind of touched everything that you want to?
So just remember Battlegrounds. Mm-hmm. If you want to play with us, this will be Friday night.
Yep.
We'll also have a link to the dev blog for Rust and the video if you want to go check that out in our show notes.
Yep.
After the fact, or you're more than welcome to go to the YouTube channel for Shadowfrax. The main thing from this, though, is they added in the icebergs again. They changed how the recoil works on weapons, so that before it was a very specific, or it was really random. So it would just go anywhere inside of a square, you know, for a certain distance. Now each weapon will kick at a different pattern. So it's kind of a skill game more to where you had to memorize or kind of know the pattern of what it kicks for that gun if you want it to be incredibly accurate. And then they will randomly change that pattern over time. So you have to keep learning it over and over again. So those are the main things from Rust. So you're more than welcome to check out the video, and it goes into more detail with some other things as well.
Absolutely. All right. So if we don't have anything else, I guess we will roll into current players, where I go through some of the games that we talk about on a regular basis, and we go through the numbers on them. So starting us off this week, as it does almost each and every week, H1Z1, King of the Kill, currently playing this game, 34,723. The 24-hour peak, 135,529, with a 70 peak of 142,119. Ark Survival Evolved, Brian, I'm seeing lacking numbers on this. This current player count is going down as we get closer to this launch. Currently playing it, 29,655. The 24-hour peak, 43,523, with a 70 peak of 52,920. I would imagine, again, those numbers will shoot back up closer to launch. 7 Days to Die still has a decent player base that have stuck around since the Alpha 16 patch. Currently playing it, 13,325. The 24-hour peak, 117,551, with a 70 peak of 23,102. Conan Exiles, still hurting in the numbers. Currently playing at 1,091, the 24-hour peak, 1,791, and the 70 peak, 2,142. I would imagine that new patch with the map will, or the snow biome of the map, will bring some players back to that. Friday the 13th, currently playing this, 1,566, the 24-hour peak, 2,302, with the 70 peak of 2,589. And finishing it off, Player Unknown's Battlegrounds. Currently playing this, 188,475. 24-hour peak, 552,038. So today it has reached over 500,000. And the 70 peak, 581,224. And that number is up. Last week at this exact same time, it was 481,304. So they gained 100,000 new concurrent players in a week. How is that possible?
I don't know. People like it.
Are they paying for pay for play? Are they doing something shady here?
I looked at the statistics, and like, these are players, are they gaming in the numbers? I don't think so. And I went and looked at King of the Kill's numbers, because I always like to go look and see where, you know, what populations are playing. Mm-hmm. And right about 50% right now of the players in King of the Kill are from China.
There you go.
Which is weird, being that, you know, they're supposedly on the firewalled and not supposed to play these things. So kind of odd that 50% of the players, and then this one, I think 17% of the players of King of the Kill are American, versus this one we're definitely the higher percentage. So I don't see that any other, you know, like, it's not like China just discovered it or something. So
yeah, they just stumbled on it.
Yeah, they're like, oh, and then it goes up a million. I don't see that happening. So yeah. It seems like it's just consistent. You know, people are either seeing their friends play it or hearing about it. You got to think there's probably a lot of high school kids, and, you know, just you go to school, you talk about a game that you found that's really cool, and they're getting their parents to buy it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
possibly.
I mean, you should be surprised, you know, in a game like this, just how, if it gets in the right areas, like, there's tons of people out there to buy these games. It's just, how do you get to them? And somehow they have found it with this game.
Gotcha.
So
there you go.
All right. So do we want to go ahead and we'll go into tip of the week? And tip of the week is where I go through and either give a specific tip or a general gaming tip. This one is going to be specific for The Long Dark. And this is Tip of the Week. All right. So for The Long Dark, I've gone through and had a chance to play it some since they did their initial release here. And this, the new story mode that they have in here is a very fun challenge. I think the players are going to really enjoy it. But one thing I've learned that it's really important to know the controls that you have. There's not a ton of them, but for some reason, when they're going through and kind of explaining the game for the first time, they don't really tell you that certain things are supposed to happen or that you're supposed to press certain keys. So one thing I wanted to go through here and just kind of give a quick overview of what some of these keys are. You know, some of these will display as hints on the screen as you play the game, but there are some that you need to know beforehand. So when first playing the game, you are told to start a fire. And to do this, you have to open the radial menu, and they don't say, oh, here, you know, press this to open the radial menu anywhere on the hints. And so if you press space, that opens up a radial menu that gives you more options of what to do. And some other shortcuts that you can do is tab, lets you see your quick stats page. If you press I, it'll bring up your inventory. C will bring up your clothings list. Since clothing plays such a vital role in this, they have a way that you can quickly go view and change your clothes out for maybe warmer ones if you pick them up. J opens your journal, since it now has a story to it. M opens your map, and then F will view your current status. So if you want to see how cold you are, how many calories you have remaining, things like that. And then I'll include a image link that'll show you just the keys if you want to print them out or take a look over, because there's some additional ones for taking screenshots, you know, high definition screenshots without the UI, things like that. But the main thing, when you hit space and open your radial menu, that it does have a couple options, you know, some with water, some with starting a fire, just some different important things that you can get from there. So if you're going to get started, I encourage you to get in there and try out the new one if you haven't played it since the since before this release, because it is a lot of fun. And I haven't gotten very far because it is very difficult. Like you feel you're actually having to search and figure out and try to. It's something you're working through. Not everything is apparent. So, and they have it to where if you die, you can have it take you to pretty much a checkpoint. And then you'll continue from there, you know, just try to figure it out. So it's like a long puzzle. So if you're into that sort of game, The Long Dark, I encourage you to go. And if anything, go watch some people play it or go watch some YouTube videos and see if it's a game that you enjoy, because it's very polished. It looks beautiful. And now it seems like there's a lot to do in it if you're not just into pure survival and you want to actually follow a little bit of story. So that is Tip of the Week.
All righty. Thank you very much, Brian. We got anything else?
So, no, I don't think so. Just make sure people show up for the Friday night game night.
I'm sure they will.
If you're not a part of our Discord, go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. On the right-hand side, click join server. That will connect you right up to our Discord channel. We have people in there throughout the whole week at all hours of the day. So if you're looking to get in a couple games of Battlegrounds, you can jump in there, jump into one of the channels, and it's pretty easy to get three other people to join you, and you'll probably have a full squad on that. So also go to our Steam page. If on there is a link that will let you join our Steam group, that allows you to get notifications of the Friday night game nights. Also notifications of when we're getting ready to start our live shows. Also, I encourage you to go to our website and click, if you don't follow us on YouTube, we have a button there for that. Also our Twitter. And you can go on your phone or a sort of mobile device if you, or even in your car as you've seen. And you can go and follow our podcast form. And so if maybe if you're on the road, you missed the live show, you missed the YouTube version, we try to deliver the podcast in an audio emphasis. And so we try to avoid showing things that require video to know what's going on. Usually if we're showing some sort of video, we also talk over it. So you're usually not missing out on too much if you go and listen to the podcast form versus watching it on YouTube. So I would encourage you to do that. And also, if you know, last time I asked for this, we had a lot of people that followed up on it, but perhaps if you think of it, if you have an option to leave a review or something on the podcast app, or you know, even on our YouTube, wherever you see, you know, if you could leave a review just to let other people know, because there's a lot of podcasts out there. There's a lot of other options.
You know, if you enjoy what we do, let other people know, and that will help them to find us.
Yes, but remember, we are the survival podcast.
Survival podcast.
Yes,
exactly. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and roll for this last one here. And I got to find the window. There we go. All right, so this one, Ladykin, I always call her Ladykin, but I don't think that's the actual, because there's an L in there. So Ladylikin, Ladylikinin. I don't know. I call her Ladykin.
Perfect.
There's a bunch of extra letters in it, but she, she has a, she actually streams a lot on Twitch. So I encourage you, usually we have a list of people that when they're live streaming, they'll show up on her channel. So I would encourage you, if you see her up on there sometime, to give her a follow on Twitch. Also, like Heisenberg's been streaming a lot recently.
Yep.
So some of these people, I would encourage you to go find their Twitch channels, sign up for notifications, because it's fun. Even if you go in there in the chat and just hang out, talk to them, it makes it enjoyable. So she'll have to tell me how to pronounce her name later, because I always just call her Ladykin, and it's, I know that's not right, but I can't fit all those letters in.
That you can pronounce some stupid arc dinosaur's name, but you can't.
But I can't pronounce that name.
Where can people find you online, Brian?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, and that's of course BOISE for people that don't know, Boise is a town. Or you can go to my blog, that's biteoftech.com. And I would encourage you to, if you're looking to contact Nick or I, just go to our website, infectionpodcast.com. There's a contact form on there, or you're more than welcome to send us a message at contact@infectionpodcast.com. That will send an email to both of us at the same time. If you have any questions, suggestions, or if you just want to harass us in general. So
there you go, Brian. Thank you very much. And we will see you, next week. Can, of course, Friday night, join us for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. Saturday, our monthly board game night. If you want to follow me on Twitter, at Nicholas M. Craig, I'll be tweeting out pictures from the Cape Fear Comic Con this week. If you're going to be in the area, if you're listening to the show and you know that somebody that is in the Cape Fear region near Wilmington, North Carolina, and would like to go to the Cape Fear Comic Con, let me know ASAP. I've got plenty of tickets to give away. So I'll be tweeting out some pictures from there Saturday. Again, follow me on Twitter at Nicholas M. Craig. I'm going to start up my Twitch channel. I was supposed to start it up August 1st, and you know, moving just really took a lot longer than I was anticipating.
Messed up your plans.
Just a lot longer than I was anticipating. So I'm going to start that up here in a couple of weeks. You can follow me on Twitch, twitch.tv/360360gaming. Live. So 360 GAMINGLIVE. You can follow me on Twitch there, and I'll start that up hopefully in a couple of weeks. And a couple of ways you can support the show as well, infectionpodcast.com/support. You can use our Amazon affiliate link, give us a direct donation through PayPal, or use our Humble Bundle affiliate program. We've had a whole bunch of people use those so far, and we of course appreciate it. Help supporting the show. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next week.